Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I've been looking forward to this segment. We always look forward to having Scott on the show, more so for me this year since I'm now a member of the fantasy world, and maybe he'll tell me why the Eagles don't give the ball to Miles Sanders enough. But I wanted to bring, I actually wanted to open up with something from reality, not fantasy. Scott Pienowski, by the way, Yahoo Sports, joining us on the Western Hotline. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm great, fellas.
Maybe folks don't know who listen to you on a regular basis with us. Scott is a Lions fan. I'm not making fun of you, buddy, because, you know, we've been down here for a while. But holy crap, Scott. I mean, you root for a franchise where you probably would never say it can never get worse. But after the Tucker field goal, the Vikings game, how you holding up, buddy?
Actually, I'm a transplant in Michigan. I'm sympathetic to the local teams, but I grew up in New England, so I didn't know that.
I thought you were a Michigander. Oh, geez.
Yeah, I've been here for 20 years, so I'd rather the team play well, but it doesn't break my heart when they lose.
Oh, my goodness.
The amazing thing about the Lions is that they allowed that long Tom Dempsey kick in 1970, the record holder, and then they allowed the Tucker kick, and then the Vikings beat them. All of those games were 1970. They lost the same game, the same story, by the same final score. They're playing hard for Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
And that's all they ask for. They actually have some fantasy juice. They have two startable running backs. They have a tight end who's had a couple of good games. They've had smidgens of value at wide receiver, nothing crazy, but they've been a plucky team, but they are obviously winless. I do think they'll be competitive this week against the Bengals and maybe win. And that's all you can ask for. I mean, look, I look at the Texans, and other than Brandon Cooks, who can you use, right? I mean, there's just no fantasy value there. It's hard to find fantasy value on the Patriots. That kind of become a boring team. The Jets are on bye week. Nobody will miss them. I mean, at least the Lions can give the fantasy world a few useful players. I mean, that's something.
I wanted to make sure we got in a Seattle question. If you are a stockholder in the Seahawks, any of their guys in your fantasy teams, okay, what do you – go ahead, Jeremy. I was going to say, what do you do now with Wilson being out, you know?
Well, not just Wilson, but Chris Carson's got that neck injury. And do we have the full story on what that is? Like, is it a long-term potential chronic thing that could mean that Alex Collins, DJ Dallas, Rashad Penny – I mean, Collins looks good in that offense when he gets the opportunity to run it. And – Carson, I just don't know. He's not really been able to stay healthy.
The good news is I don't think Alex Collins is really that much worse than Chris Carson. That's the easier conversion here. But the offense could easily go off track. This team has been structured around Russell Wilson since they drafted him. Third round, hard to believe. Jacksonville was drafting a punter, and there was Seattle getting Russell Wilson after his one great season at Wisconsin. But, you know, I thought Geno Smith actually acquitted himself well in a relief appearance, but now there's tape on him. The Steelers still have a plus defense. I think you have to view DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett down a slot. You know, a Metcalf you drafted as your number one receiver. He's more of a wide receiver two now. Tyler Lockett is more of a wide receiver three. And you just hope Wilson can maybe come back in 4 weeks. But, I mean, what the line move, 6 or 7 points, something like that? I mean, Seattle was actually favored in the look-ahead line. Now they're, I think, a 5-point underdog at Pittsburgh. That tells you everything you need to know about Wilson. I'm worried. I have a lot of shares of Lockett and a lot of shares of Metcalf. I'm just hoping they can be quasi-playable while they live with Geno Smith for the next month or so.
Baltimore, Scott, we've seen the injuries, Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins and Lamar and that offense, they're cooking and they're not even really running it that well. I mean, Hollywood Brown has been great. They're waiting for Rashad Bateman back. It's almost like a massive transformation for the Baltimore offense. Very playable, but in different ways now.
Yeah, you said that very well. I mean, I can't think of the last time Baltimore had this bad of a running game. And we know with mobile quarterbacks, a lot of times that adds that, you know, spreads the defense horizontally and it makes it a lot easier to run the ball. But they haven't really found anything. And they've tried. They've been using the four-year-old fantasy magazine to get their running backs. I mean, Latavius Murray, Le'Veon Bell, Devonta Freeman, you know, these guys all had their peak several years ago. That we've seen splashes of Tyson Williams. I don't think they really believe in him. The story to me is that Lamar used to be runner athlete first, and the passing was kind of a fallback. He's become a much better passer, and not just to guys who are open when the play breaks down and Hollywood's, you know, 5 yards behind the defense. He throws that ball very well. But he was throwing darts to cover guys. The way they stole that game, Indianapolis had that game, reminded me of the Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl, where at one point Baltimore needed to win every 50-50 play, every coin flip. They needed to block a kick. They needed to win the coin flip for overtime. They needed Blankenship to miss a second field goal. They needed to hit all those two-point conversions, and they did it. Jackson's probably the number one fantasy quarterback going forward. And even when they get Bateman back, as you said, they need a physical receiver like him. But I think Hollywood Brown's a top 10 receiver the rest of the way. I mean, what if he caught those touchdown passes in the Detroit game? He could have had a couple of touchdowns, maybe three in that game. And every other game this year, he scored. You know, I don't know if switching his uniform number to number five was the elixir he needed or just another year of understanding route running and what life in the NFL is like. But he and Jackson have really taken a step forward. Mark Andrews had a smash game on Monday. The Chargers-Ravens game, that's the game I have to watch this week. I think the fascinating matchup. I think it's going to be a great fantasy game, and I think somebody needs to score 35 points to win there, which is obviously good for our purposes.
You mentioned Mark Andrews. It's another week of talking about Dawson Knox with you and his emergence, mm-hmm. his increased role in this Bills offense, and how he is he a must start now with this Bills offense? If you've got Dawson Knox and you don't have Waller, Kittle, like, how high up the board are you putting Dawson Knox right about now?
Yeah, he's like five or six on my tight end board. I would like to see a few more targets. He's still getting it done with three targets here, five targets there. I think his high for the season might be six. It was fun to watch him get involved downfield. I realized one of the plays was a broken play, but maybe Knox doesn't have to be just that goal line dependent fantasy tight end. But here's the bottom line, and this is going to sound incredibly oversimplified. The idea of fantasy is recognize who the best offenses in football are and then grab those players. And if Dawson Knox is going to be a part of this offense, he's never going to be the featured receiver. I mean, they have Stephon Diggs on this team. Sanders is playing at a very high level. Allen's always going to run some of them in. They have backs who are capable. But if he's going to be a regular multi-feed in this offense, if he's going to have a piece of, you know, was going to be one of the best offenses in football, sure. Tight end is so ugly. You know, Kittle's hurt. You know, Kelsey's obviously always going to be fine. Waller's fine, although he hasn't been great the last few weeks. But most people in fantasy, I'd say if you're in a 12-team league, there's probably half the league hates their tight ends or isn't sure what they're doing. And the person who stumbled into Dawson Knox it's like finding money on the street because he was not drafted in most leagues. You know, he had an interesting rookie year. I thought he took a step back as a second season drop problem. Again, there's always receivers here that they like, but he's one of the biggest surprises of the season. I would say the biggest surprise is Cordarrelle Patterson, who nobody thought was a fantasy viable player, and now he's turned into a really fun slash guy for the Falcons, even on a limited snap share, although that's been moving up in recent weeks. But if I had to list my top five surprises, Dawson Knox is on that list somewhere, and I think it's going to be a top 10 season for him going forward. You're not going to get the volume of the top guys, but again, he's tied to an MVP candidate, a quarterback. He's tied to one of the best offenses in the league, and he's carved out a role. I mean, that means he's fantasy viable in my book.
Were you relieved? What were you to see Kyle Pitts' breakout game?
Yeah, it's just nice to see the validation. You know, we know he came in, what, fourth overall pick. Man, how did Florida lose four games with Kyle Pitts and Kadarius Toney? I'd like to know that. We used to always laugh about how could Ole Miss not be better with Dawson Knox and DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown, and it looks like Florida had that type of talent last year, at least at the skill positions. But the Jets were prioritizing Pitts. They couldn't stop him. Obviously, Ridley didn't play in that game, so they knew who the guy was to get, the guy they had to mark. And Matt Ryan's played better the last 3 weeks. I was really worried the first couple of weeks, maybe it was a cliff season. Not that Matt Ryan's anywhere near Pro Bowl or MVP race type of stuff. I mean, he's in the back end of his career, but at least he can be good enough. I think they're getting the bye at the right time. They had a good win over the Jets. You teams take their bye after the London game. Pitts, I would rank Pitts ahead of Knox for sure. He's probably number four, number five in my tight end board going forward. It's just a matter of the Falcons finally figuring out how to use him and maybe some familiarity and comfort with him and the new coach and him and the new quarterback. I think it's all green lights for Kyle Pitts in the second half.
I only had one question. Could you possibly?
I had one more, but I forgot what it was. Well, it was in the middle of Pitts' answer.
You can think about it. Could you? Do you have any sway with the Eagles? Could you possibly tell them to give the ball to Miles Sanders more?
Yeah, isn't it funny how every year the offensive linemen get hurt there. They're the Spinal Tap drummers of the NFL, and they junk the running game so quickly. And unfortunately, the matchup's horrible for you this week because nobody runs on Tampa Bay. Nobody tries to run on Tampa Bay.
Yep.
And the thing with the Eagles, too, is when they run in a touchdown, it's always Jalen Hurts. There is no player in the NFL right now who has a bigger gap between his real-life value and fantasy value than Jalen Hurts. I don't know how good of a quarterback he is. We'll see. It's early in his career. You want to give these guys some time to grow and learn and figure things out. And I know they've done a lot to try to upgrade the skill talent. I think Devonta Smith is very playable. He's coming off two strong games. But they've shown that if the running game doesn't work in the first series, they give it up. Hmm. And they're going to do it against Tampa Bay this week. I guess that's tonight's game. So you'll see Miles Sanders is probably going to have like nine touches at the end of the game. He doesn't have any touchdowns yet. I don't think he's a great fit with the Jalen Hurts offense. And obviously with all those offensive linemen hurt, Gainwell's a mouth to feed in this offense too. I think Sanders is somebody you hopefully don't have to play right now.
You mentioned the biggest gap between value, real quarterback, and fantasy. Is Daniel Jones in that conversation too?
For sure.
and the Giants, I wonder, Scott, do you think that the Giants are more playable the rest of their lineup with no Barkley? Because I don't know if they'll just spread it more. I mean, Kadarius Toney's had a nice little breakout, and Daniel Jones is a pretty good streaming start, or maybe a genuine start if you got him at quarterback.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but Kadarius Toney reminds me of rookie year Odell Beckham, right? First round pick, wasn't ready to play at the beginning of the season. And then once he got on the field, I was like, oh my God, this guy is just ridiculous. Just the way he can plant a leg or plant a foot and then immediately change direction and yet seem like he's at top speed. He's got unbelievable body control. And they have fun skill talent. I don't know what we're going to get from Barkley for a while. And I guess Evan Ingram is somebody I've kind of given up on, but I liked Shepard before he got hurt. We know Galladay is a talented guy. I was nervous about him changing teams and how long would it take him to get familiar with Jones and Jason Garrett and all that stuff. There's talent on this offense. And Jones was actually playing fairly mistake-free. The big problem with Jones was that he had no pocket awareness. He was always fumbling, interceptions. He, for the most part, has cleaned that up. They had the stunning upset win against New Orleans. This can be a fun offense. It's just a matter of you don't know who's playing right now. This week, I don't know. Is Shepard playing? Not sure. Is Galladay playing? Not sure. Is Barkley playing? Not sure. We don't know for sure if Jones is playing, although that's trending in the right direction. If this offense can get reasonably healthy, Tony's even a little bit dinged up, and it's great as he's looked for 2 weeks. If they can get most of these guys healthy, this can be a really fun team. It'll be like an 8-9 fun team. I don't think it's going to be a contender or anything, but it can be a fantasy spot. Well, we can play a handful of guys, but you need the quarterback healthy and you need the main guys healthy. My main takeaway here is I don't have any Tony, but man, I'm blown away at how talented he is. Again, I would not throw out a Beckham comp lightly, but that's how dynamic he's looked the last 2 weeks.
You can get the fantasy football coverage from Yahoo, sports.yahoo.com. You should follow Scott on Twitter, and that would be @Scott_Pianowski, in addition to catching him every Thursday at 9:30 with us. Thank you, as always, for your time, and good fantasy luck.
Appreciate it, guys. Good luck to you.
All right, Scott, have a good weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.